We got Solomon on the line. How you doing, Solomon? Welcome to the show. Solomon?
Oh, thank you. Good afternoon.
Solomon.
Why? Yeah, Neil Solomon.
This guy's wisdom.
This is wisdom.
Wisdom of Solomon.
I don't know. I don't have a thousand wives.
You couldn't handle it anyway. All right, go ahead.
You're right. Bob Carter told me to call you.
Who?
Bob Carter.
Okay.
You know Bob?
Yeah. Bob's a good buddy of mine.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Go ahead.
I ran into it this morning. Anyway, about our water rationing, conservation.
Uh-huh.
With all our plants and everything.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to advertise House Bill 645, 2003. Many of the homeowners associations and developers and everything say you must have 90% grass front and side to your house. This house bill, which of course uses a lot of water, we got a water, we use a lot of fuel cutting it, use a lot of insecticide spraying it, and everything else.
Yeah.
House Bill 645 says that for the purpose of water conservation, you do not. This bill overrides all homeowner and developer and city ordinances when it comes to conservation. So my point is, why aren't we advertising that a lot of people can go zero scape, save thousands and thousands, maybe millions of gallons a year, but they don't know about it, so they're afraid of doing anything because they signed a lease that says they will have 9% green on sides and front. But the House bill says you can ignore that and save water, save fuel, and save the environment.
Do you know about that House bill, Cal?
Yeah,
House Bill 645.
I was involved in it. It's not quite as strong as you're representing it, but it, and in fact, there was some stronger language that was proposed and may be proposed in the future. But a lot of people are still, you know, we've had a number of people convert their landscapes in the San Antonio area, but there's just many more people that are still more comfortable with turf grass and less drought tolerant plants. And we still, you're right, we still have an education issue, even though some of us have been doing it for 16, 17 years.
And a lot of people don't know either.
Yeah, lots of articles written, lots of TV programs, lots of radio programs, so we got some work there.
I called the Express News, I called the TV station, Channel 12, I called a couple of other people, and nobody wanted to publicize. See, because my homeowners association, I won't name them, we're not trying to get people in trouble, but they sent me legal documents. They're going to take me to court because I zero-scaped, and I had to pull out that state law.
Well, that, yeah, and that, we've, are certainly willing to help. We've made many calls to remind folks that that's not an appropriate thing in a city like this where we've got the water challenge, and of course low water use landscapes or xeriscape can be very, very attractive. You can have 12 months of color. The problem is that some people have the perception that it's not, and
sometimes it isn't.
And sometimes it isn't, just like a regular landscape is, sometimes it isn't.
I guess beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
That's right, and that's one of the reasons why that neighborhood associations have put these rules in, is that they want everybody to agree what a beautiful landscape looks like. And a lot of them are not the homeowners, the developers put them in there, and then they made rules that you need 95% or 100% vote to change anything. That makes it almost impossible to change it. But so those kind of, it would be much easier if we had the, you know, we've got the legislation you described, and certainly we would expect a little stronger legislation in the next session to make it. It just doesn't make sense in Texas to limit. Now we want to be able to. We want landscapes to be well cared for and well maintained, and structurally, you know, the architecture needs to be. It seems fair that people can determine what they want their, how to, so that it complements each other. So it's hard to figure out where that that language is that makes it everybody fairly happy.
See, the problem is a lot of people have put out gravel and cactus in the front yard called as earscape. Well, that goes against the beautification of the neighborhood. I would assume that's... Now, for instance, what have you got in your front yard?
Me?
That the people are angry about. I mean...
I got gravel and mulch, and I got 52 trees and bushes. I got a lot of color.
Oh, okay.
Around my house. I'm saying, see, I'm like Calvin. I'm a PhD. All I'm saying is give people a choice. You know, just give them a choice and just publicize it that they have the right to do that. That's all I'm trying to advocate. I'm not saying they should do it or neighborhoods should look ugly. All I'm saying is Texas legislature said we could do it.
Yep.
So give people a choice. And allow them, and don't be scared of a written rule that can be overruled.
Mm-hmm. Did we have any kind of example landscape plans in our book, our color book?
Oh, there's a number of books. Of course, we've got at the Botanical Garden. You've got those little mini gardens.
Cottage garden.
Yeah, Greg's book gave some neat little...
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. He had designs
in
that book.
Yeah, and kind of the designs for tough areas. The Landscape Care Guide gave lots and lots of examples. There's a Saw's Wildscape Care Guide. But you know, despite all that education, all that material, you're absolutely right. There's just a lot of more education that we need to do. And
well, now I'm confused.
Uh-huh.
All right. So he said this law that was passed overrides the homeowners association, and you said he's giving an interpretation that may be a bit stronger. So does it or doesn't it?
It depends on the provisions. I should check this out, but my recollection is that you cannot limit landscapes to materials that will force you to use more water. So
that's a little bit interpretive then.
Yeah, but you know, and I think in San Antonio, especially when we've had this discussion with homeowner associations, they've been receptive. Some of the other cities, not at all. That's where the legislation will really make a difference. But we've got a lot to do.
I think after a year like this, too, you always want to sell water conservation in a drought, like this. When it gets to raining, you know, we forget what Finch's name was. You know, who? Calvin who? You remember when it was raining all the time, we would enjoy it. Yeah, we need to conserve. And, you know, I was saying, well, we need to start charging saws to pump that water out of there so the aquifer won't explode and blow us into the atmosphere or something. But, you know, people are not listening. People will listen now. People will listen as they see this stuff dying and drying.
Solomon, in this kind of a climate, we've got an advantage in that, you know, when you get an average 32 inches of rain, and if you do, you know, use the right plants and the mulches, all the things you've mentioned, you can still have a real lush landscape and a huge palette of plants. So we got an advantage in our education that we can sell a lot. It's not like 10 inches of rain someplace.
Yeah, like El Paso weather. Yeah, if you want a different color landscape, you change the color of the gravel.
Or you catch it as it floats by. Poor El Paso.
Most of you.
Yeah.
I think dealing with these new homeowners, and that's the problem we're having, because they don't know. Honestly, they don't know. Like my daughter, they don't know. And I think we need to put together a combination of examples. You know, now they can see it, write it. You can go to the Botanical Garden, but how many people go to the Botanical Garden to see a landscape? You know, in the book, maybe Greg's book, and maybe this thing that we just did, and just give them some samples of what they could have.
You know, and that new water conservation ordinance, too, also requires that models for new homes built after January 1, 2006, that if you start a new project and have new models, at least one of them has to have low water use
landscape.
Yeah, there's
an idea where they could see it. Yeah. That it's not.
And those options have to be offered. You know, it can't be a difficult. And Karen, the water conservation crew at Saws, are, you know, one of their jobs is to make sure that that ordinance is followed.
Now that's important. I think that'd work because people will see it. I mean, young people that don't know, you know, like my daughter that doesn't know how to turn on an irrigation system and don't know a bougainvillea from a cypress tree. I mean, there's people that, and a lot of them, I think a lot of the newcomers and people from the north, they don't know plant material. So that kind of examples of what does best here is very, very important, I think.
Thanks, right. Solomon.
Great.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you.
So we got that little discussion going.
Yeah.